You people should stop buying shitcoins, because shitcoins are a financial risk for society. Only buy Bitcoin before you get financially wrecked. Consult with a professional before investing. So welcome to the Bitcoin Rehab Show.
Thank you for having me a guest on here. I am Werefox or Fox or whatever you want to call me. And yeah, it was first time ever hearing about this. My only other experience on podcasts was the Bitcoin Echo Chamber, which were the same group of people, like a heavily armed clown that started the What the Fuck Happened in 1971. Oh, yeah. Meme. So very cool group of people.
Especially What the Fuck Happened in 1971.
Yeah, a lot of correlations and stuff that a modern-day economist does not recognize, though. But yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Modern-day economists don't even know what the fuck they're doing. So they're just, you know, running around in circles around their shitty-ass hypothesis.
Well, that's a lot of people that come out of a college because they were educated by somebody that might have known remotely what was happening 20 or 30 years ago. And even then, there's that bias that could be introduced with the universities. But
yeah. I mean, especially economics universities where you study economics, because usually economics is part of social sciences subjects. And basically, sociologists are usually the economists, and economists are usually the sociologists. And sometimes the two things don't really, you know, work out together because they don't really understand each other's point of view, especially when they focus too much on subjects related to that doesn't make any sense. Especially how Keynes managed to start his own ideology and how it managed to enter the mainstream thinking, basically. And how it kind of fucked up the whole world.
That's kind of funny that you described it like that, because I ran it past Hunter, my roommate, earlier. And then he described it as, the economists see it as a science. They're scientists, is how they see themselves.
That's
because they're collecting data and analyzing it and then coming up with conclusions. But yeah, it's absolute bullshit. And it was just like, wow, that's like the subversion of the current state of that right now, is that they think they're scientists instead of like they're spiritualists, or like you said, like the social psychology aspects. So like, you know, they have like the animal spirits, there's the bull and the bear. So like just kooky shit like that. But yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, this is a big issue, right? What I think is that university got to the point, is now it's farcical, whatever. Because I did learn about economics a bit in university when I was doing my master's degree, and the whole thing was just a big farce. We were analyzing data points that didn't make any goddamn sense, and we had to like learn like, you know, this and that, and like what happened over here and over there. And I was like, what the hell? I'm like, it was so outrageous, because I felt
was it anything
like
it was like remotely relevant, or was it kind of like a biased thing? Or
it was very biased, but in a way that it was trying to like force us to believe something about the economy that happened,
yeah,
and how the crisis
conclusion, yeah, of like the limited amount of data that they supply you. Or
yeah. So it was quite fucked up, in my opinion.
That's fiat currency in general, I guess.
Yeah, basically. That's what education is about, in my opinion. And and higher education is just a farce. You go and learn some shitty-ass degree other than programming, or even those are terrible. So people want to learn
higher education.
Yeah, what?
In a lot of ways, to me, always came off as gatekeepy, and that's the major issue with it, because 2 + 2 = 4, no matter what school you go to.
Yeah, agreed.
And with like government, I guess like investments thrown at it through a fiat mindset in the United States, you see the prices go up and up. And I have never gone to a college because of it. I might go to a trade school someday or like a coding boot camp, but that's not an option to me. Like debt that I can't like default on is just spooky.
It is the gatekeeping, because, you know, nowadays what students think that you go do a BA or some sort of a shitty ass gender studies in university, and then you suddenly gonna have like 50K income a year, and then, you know, you do an MA or MSc, and then you suddenly have $100,000 a year or something. People just live in this fantasy land that they, you know, they go get these stupid things like, I don't know what it's called, like gay dance, I don't know what, gender studies degree. This was,
so like, I am trans and I've been on testosterone blockers, estrogen, shit like that for like over a year now, and I still don't really understand what the word gender means, because with biological signals, it's all based on sex, and then that's what the social cue or indicator is with like how somebody's going to gender you in reality. So I would be interested, though, like, if I could go through that course for free, the gender studies, I totally would, just to see how bonkers it is, just to, like, debunk the shit or, like, have the knowledge. But how does that actually apply in the real world?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that comes off like it's a rhetorical question, so I'm sorry. I'm kind of honest, too, though.
this is interesting. Like, for example, here in Hungary, we have Soros University pushing the gender studies course, for example. But if I would have to go into gender studies more about, you know, looking into studies regarding sexual minorities, the LGBT community, and then you have also their women's situation and whatnot. But then if I think about it more deeply, it doesn't really make much sense, because it is still attempting to force down certain liberal ideologies on you just to enforce their own ideology.
Yeah, I don't really like the word liberal, though, when applied to that, because I like to associate that word with libertarian. I'm not out here subjecting definitions people did with vaccine and stuff like that in the recent years. But yeah, I agree with you, though. I'm feeling that sentiment pretty hardcore. So.
Yeah. Okay, let's just clarify the words. It's like what we're talking about. Liberal is like the neoliberal, which is more about the Sorosian world. And the classical liberal is the libertarian, is what I would say. Yeah, basically. And the government basically back in a few years ago, kind of they just booted the university out from the country because Orbán was really upset over Soros that he was still in the country. He basically funded this university here, and he'd been trying to like influence politics in the country for many, many years now.
Well, that's supposedly what all universities exist to do, is influence and subvert and be like the first generation source of it. I don't know if I fully believe that, but it seems kind of valid concern. So, like, you go through a public education, right? And you're being told by somebody that went to another school, and then they didn't get a career or do anything useful. They went to another school to graduate and tell you to go to higher education. So I can never really buy into it, even as a kid. Because it's like, have you ever actually had experience in the real world? And never really did. But then they would be kind of like just steadfast on their beliefs and stuff like that. I really believe they had any ground to, I guess.
Yeah, they focus more on hypotheses more. So they are unable to, like, you know, go into more the practical things, which is quite a problem. And this is same applies to like secondary education also. Because they're like not
they
really...
Use...
Yeah, what?
They use debt, which should be like a product of proof of work, but they've never done any proof of work. And then they come out of that having spent that debt money, which I guess all fiat currency is debt money. Then they come out with a sense of entitlement that they accomplished something without doing proof of work. It's weird.
Yeah, it's like proof of stake.
Gatekeeping, but yeah, it is proof of stake, because then they have to perpetuate the lie or something like that.
Yeah,
like
you need to have a stake in it.
In that university or like that trusted party. So it's
yes, exactly. It's a centralized institute that gatekeeps your opportunities, because you need to enroll into staking long term. You stake your time and you don't
like
do the proof
of work. Kind of like government like radio station sometimes on delivering food, which I do for a living, as well as other things, but they're like bashing online universities lately like hell. And I'm just like, damn, the status quo is feeling threatened. Like, I'm rooting for the underdog that these people are telling me to hate. It's just, damn. But why can't you do like an IT course in 6 months instead of 2 years? It's just, it's ridiculous.
Because probably it feels bad for some people that, you know, they wasted their time doing proof of stake instead of somebody doing proof of work.
Actually, yeah. So then, like, in a democracy, they're like, okay, we, the royal we need to all collaborate to stop this. It's undermining the current system. And, yeah. I'm really hoping that Bitcoin will fix that, or I'm thinking it will, though. Like, that sense of identity politics or, like, my stake and this bullshit won't matter to everybody else because it's a lot harder to steal wealth from other people. So, we'll see, though.
You mean
makes
Bitcoin?
Me optimistic as a tranny. Yeah, like, Bitcoin. Like, it's a lot harder of an asset to take from me than some fiat in a bank account that'll totally cuck out to the government if they ask.
Yeah.
I'd say it's even superior to like gold or silver buried in the backyard. So
yeah, dig up your own valve from the grave.
Dude, they could build a drone that just flew over and found that. But yeah. It'd be the flying metal detector, but I'm sorry though that I keep fucking off with this.
No, that's fine. That's fine. This is what the show is about.
Oh, cool.
So, do tell us a bit about yourself, because we kind of just, you know, we sped too far away. What can we know about you?
Oh, I found Bitcoin in 2015, fresh out of high school, working for my uncle. But him and his family, his whole family, were deep into shitcoining as well. They were like the crypto enthusiasts instead of Bitcoin. And he would sometimes pay me in these different currencies, and then I got into it as well, started investing money, I think, in Bitcoin, Litecoin, and NEO. NEO is a goddamn shit show, but yeah. And then I got to watch his family just lose faith. And then, like, fast forward 2 years, I'm with his son, and he's just like, if they get to fork Bitcoin, that just means they're printing more. I'm done with, like, Bitcoin Cash and then later BSV and stuff like that. But them pushing it and, like, the optimism with it, I figured there was something there, and I kept low-key reading into it, but also got kind of culty vibes. And then I think around like 2018, I started taking it madly serious. And when Bitcoin was around, I think like 3,300 to like maybe 4,500, I was throwing like 50% of my paychecks plus into it. Managed to bail out of Tennessee with those funds later on and moved to Colorado. Also got to get a bunch of expensive Magic the Gathering cards, which was a shitcoin investment as well. But the reserve list cards are actually correlated with the Bitcoin halvenings because of Mt. Gox, the first exchange. So Magic the Gathering nerds, I guess, have a deep root, or they're the whales with Bitcoin because Magic the Gathering exchange, or online exchange, Mt. Gox. Yeah, fast forward to now, and I've been humbled through many cycles and shitcoinery, and I'm still trying to learn. Hopefully I get this happening right. So yeah, that's me.
That's cool. Humbled.
Yeah, I got to watch family quit, just rage quit.
Really?
But like at the hype, you saw the peak of the greed with like some 13-year-old offering to buy new furniture because of his potential yields with shitcoin trading and 2017.
What the hell? Huh? What?
Yeah. Unnatural. So, but I still figured there was something there because I remember one day too, my uncle was crying listening to a Bitcoin podcast in the van. And then I think something clicked with him because this never left me, but he said something like, I think Bitcoin will end wars for my children in the future. And that still seems pretty, I'm hopeful of that, and I can actually see it with the game theory. So, at least there'll be small-scale ones that won't be so dramatic, so.
Definitely. Like, all kinds of game theory plays off with Bitcoin, especially when it defunds the state. And then the war machine just kind of just grinds to a halt. Because nobody will be willing to finance war anymore.
Yeah, the majority of it is with debt. But then with the solid money, if it's a war, it's going to be over something serious, I believe.
Yeah.
And it would be like some sort of localized kind of civil war or small petty feud, so. It wouldn't last that long either. So it'd be the honorable war, like knights. We got the feudal lords. Oh, yeah. The samurai are coming back. Sorry.
Yeah, this has been really interesting for me. Like what do you think? Like, do you think that current Bitcoiners will probably wage war on each other? And would that be a way?
Well, on
to,
Twitter,
like,
you see that kind of purity spiraling, but in reality, I don't see it. Like, I attend Bitcoin events here in Boulder, Longmont, and then I attend like a Denver Bit Devs every month, which is just like developers that are in the community. But The only hostility I saw was like, I think around BIP 119 and like the purity spiraling with that on Twitter and shit. And I know that none of these people looked into that BIP because our events were talking about that like 6 months before it was a big thing or a big signal on Twitter. And then you saw them like, oh, Jeremy's a spook. Jeremy's a Jew. And it was so strange to watch unfold. I got to meet Jeremy Rubin at Miami Pleb 2022, which was what he called his event. Give me a free t-shirt too. Cool guy.
I was before the conference, right? He invited me onto it, but I didn't.
Yeah, it was before the Bitcoin 2022 conference. But he didn't.
Did you attend the conference?
I was there.
Oh shit, we missed each other.
We hadn't met, and I missed like people that I had met in person, like here. So there was a lot of people.
That's interesting. How do you like the conference?
Man, it was wild. Like, so like you had like really like high signal people there. That was really cool. Jordan Peterson being there was a little bit weird, but that was also kind of cool.
Yeah, he had an interesting talk there. I actually
had like
an
actual like ASIC museum. Like I forgot who was hosting that, but it was kind of like a mini ASIC museum. That was cool. Shit, like there was a bunch going on there. The Declaration of Monetary Independence was pretty fun to sign. Oh, and I got to steal about like maybe $60 or $70 worth of Bitcoin through a vendor there through like social pen testing, I guess, or. And then I lost it all. And the chick that I was with at the conference that was also doing this with me, she lost her phone.
What so happened?
But I didn't record the key because I was just like, this is freebies. But yeah, they were like demoing a Lightning wallet. So they would have you download this app. And then they'd be like, okay, we see that you saw or downloaded the app. So just generate a receive invoice or whatever the Lightning. And then like, we'll pay you, I think it was $10. But then they had two or three booths in the place. And these people weren't coordinated, so you just walk to each booth, and then you get, like, $30 a run. Me and this chick were taking pictures of these people there, and when they would shift change, we were, like, plotting like hell. They would also give you a free pin, which I have, like, still a mini stack of these. They're, like, a blue Bitcoin pin with a lightning bolt in the center. So I thought that was cool too, getting a free little pin every time. But yeah, I accidentally deleted the app. I don't know how I did it, but Miami's crazy like that. And then she lost her phone. So it was a wild time, but yeah, the conference was really fun. Like it was also pretty surreal sitting on the beach when like I had to avoid it for industry day, but like the planes going past the beach, like had like Bitcoin and cryptocurrency ads on them. It's like, man, we've come a long way since 2015 when I first found this. It's wild. So that was kind of like a religious experience of like going to the Mecca. So got to see the stones, but like it was all just so real. And it was just like, man, I've been like online all this time, but it was surreal. That's all I can say there.
Did you enter the Wasabi booth by any chance?
No, but I heard there was some shitlording there. Like, what happened with that?
What?
I heard that... No, actually, no. It was another booth that somebody trolled, and then they, like, changed the monitor and, like, the display on it.
Oh.
It was not Wasabi at all. Like, I don't think anybody'd fuck with Wasabi. I can't remember who it was, though.
I guess except Scamurai.
It was maybe, yeah. But... I didn't go by the Wasabi booth, though. No, my bad.
Wasn't it like the Elliptic one or the Chain on Lysis booth? I think it was one of the exchange that got like changed like BTC Pay was BitPay.
Yeah, actually, it was something like that.
Yeah,
it had like
BitPay,
a display
yeah.
of like the
yeah, Cooks went there and he put
like,
the...
Somebody just threw, I think it was like a mempool like dot space or whatever, like live feed on there instead, or it was just stupid.
Oh, okay, it wasn't him then.
But yeah.
It's glorious. That's quite fun. It seemed like you had a really fun experience. Are you going next year also?
I don't know yet.
So how do you like the conference? Did it improve over time? Was it better than before?
That was the first conference I ever went to.
Really?
I can't judge it like that.
You need to come next year.
It would probably actually be better because, like, if the price is lower, then, like, the more devoted or, like, laser-eyed people are going to be there.
So. Yeah. If you crash to, like, $3,000 again.
Like, speaking of stealing the free sats from that conference, if you went to, like, the upstairs, and they had just these little, like, mini studio places, and then, like, all these, like, bigwigs are in there, like, getting on the house, like, booze and shit. So you could just go up there and enjoy the free AC and act like you belong there. Just get free stuff on that. So it was... like, stuff like that. Maybe it'll be washed out, like, next conference, and it'll just be more to the point, but... there were so many temptations, even in the conference.
You had a really great time.
The staff would not question who you were when you walked in. You just like, oh, I'm here for this. If you heard what it was. But yeah, this is so dumb.
Yeah, I remember like so we had a booth there with Wasabi and I was there, and we were like, went before the industry day. And basically, how it went was that on day, so it was like on day zero when we were just setting up the booth, anybody could just walk in. There were people walking around with general admission passes inside a conference area, and nobody gave anything any fucks about, you know, who have
won. Like, if I knew I could do that, I would have done it. Damn.
Yeah, I mean, you could have done that. It's very easy. So on day zero, when the organization is going up in the building, you can just basically go in and do whatever the fuck you want. You can talk to whoever you want. You could even go into the veil area, and nobody's going to give a fuck about who you are.
I know somebody that managed to take an armband and then just get in after that, even though didn't work. So that was pretty funny. It, Bitcoiners need to like test the OPSEC of the conference, I guess, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, even on so like when the industry day was going on, I saw a lot of people with general admission passes just walking around the conference. Basically,
I wonder like how the people felt though that like paid that huge price difference instead of just receiving it, like felt because that might hurt.
But
that was a massive price difference.
Yeah, I know. It's like the price really went up in the end, but the fancy thing was that on the first day the gates weren't closed. So basically anybody who arrived around 7 a.m. to Bitcoin 2022 were able to just go in through the side, no security checks, no whatever. You just went into the conference and you could do whatever the fuck you want, and they wouldn't even check your general admission pass on your wrist because they didn't care about if you have one or not when you're inside the venue. That little band that you had on your hand was only working when you were at the gate. Once you got in, nobody cared what was on you. The only time they cared.
My friend got in. It was just they skipped the gate and they went around like where the bull was, I think.
Yeah, basically, if you like on because day
security,
one.
Like, I remember like the first one or two days, they're like, you can't go out these doors. And then eventually everybody was going in and out of those doors, smoke or something, or it was just a joke.
It's like, you know, it's like, but the veil areas were better guarded, in my opinion. So that's the thing that was like the difference.
I never got to see those, so I wouldn't know.
It's interesting, yeah. So so you said you're transsexual. You want to talk a bit about that?
Well, when you start it like that, I don't know what to say.
Okay, so like we had a bit of a conversation about this. Like you said, you started transitioning, but you haven't really managed to fully do it.
No, I don't feel entitled to like that label, or of like female or something, even though that's what I'm striving to be. But it's a process. Which is kind of strange, though, given the, I guess, like, the more popular narrative of if somebody says there's something, you should just take that or accept that. It's just,
Like, how do you mean, like...
Okay, so, like, you're at your job or something, or you're just like, oh, you're going to refer to me with, like, she, her pronouns, or they, them, or, like, Zer, or whatever, and then you're obligated to do that, even though it doesn't seem like the respectful or normal thing to do. So then, if you're like the transsexual in that situation doing that, it's kind of like you have a sense of entitlement or something, or you should feel kind of like your mental illness is pushing into other people's lives, making them feel uncomfortable or something like that, because they're having to defy their own instincts. That's the whole point of taking cross-sex hormones and stuff like that, too. It's just, well, if you look more like a female, then it'll be less strange and they will treat you more like a female.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
But within Bitcoin spaces and stuff like that, and also, I guess, being a libertarian or anarchist, whatever the fuck I am, a lot of that stuff in those spaces are against it, and I don't really understand why. But I guess it has to do with they're coming for your children, and then government funding. So.
And then the whole just got stuck in the mix-up, and you're like a victim of the narrative.
Yeah, but I don't like to see myself as a victim either. I got Bitcoin, so they can't really touch me. I don't have to participate in this. I've opted out of that matrix. I decided to transition after like the COVID stuff and after everybody was like losing their minds with that. Because it was just like, well, I might be a weirdo, but I saw what everybody in my area was doing. So, and the stuff they would say too, like some people are more essential than others. It's like, dude, like end times of the fiat currency is leaking into society with those kind of statements. But yeah, if you have anything else to ask about it, that was kind of a vague thing, but hopefully that kind of answered something with it, or a vague question, but hopefully my answer was sufficient.
Yeah. So then let me just hold it down for a second. I just saw something really weird here. It says flood warning. But then I clicked that and I saw it was Dallas, Texas.
You running like a VPN or something, and yep. It just shocks you, because I've had that happen with Germany, and it's just like, oh god. Yeah. like whenever what? Like Tor routes me through Germany, it's just like, man, like I see the strangest ads, and it's just god damn.
So it was like really weird when I looked at the thing. I was like, yeah, it's impossible that Daniel is at the all-time low, like, so it's impossible to happen.
This is why Tor is cultural enrichment. So.
Yep.
Get out of your echo chamber. Experience blah blah blah.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, we also talked about previously about transsexual people being more rejecting towards Bitcoin. Why do you think that is the case?
Well, I believe it's because I'm going to stereotype here, so I have to disclose that.
Okay.
But with these blanket stereotypes. Because there's always the exception, but yeah, that trigger warning aside, a lot of these leftists and stuff that are like tied into the LGBT label are, I guess, believing that they're going against the status quo by sipping the Kool-Aid from the status quo. They'll unironically tell you over a message that Bitcoin wastes energy over a device that doesn't provide a service to anybody anywhere else on the globe. So it's just, well, actually, I guess it provides a service to their service provider with payment, but I'm spurging out there. It's like they perceive themselves as the counterculture because that's the popular narrative, while I guess they're running on an NPC, like, executable. And they see themselves as a status quo, and, like, these Bitcoiners are alt-right or something, or however it's been painted, and they're coming for me. Hopefully that answers that.
It's kind of fucked up. Like that kind of thinking that they have, because, you know, Bitcoin is more liberating thing, and, you know, and being transsexual in their view is more like being oppressed by, this is a really ugly word, like cis white shit.
Their narrative is like, their narrative is that they're oppressed, but then they deny the best currency for anybody that's oppressed, any minority out there, because it's the hardest to confiscate or even detect, I guess, if you do it right. It's just weird. So in a way, it's like they've been gaslit, like what government or the establishment does all the time, to hate what would help them. Government all the time, like, gaslights people, like, against their best interests. And I guess that's actually a really good example of it. I haven't thought of that till now.
Yeah, I mean, like, it is gaslighting, yeah. It's a pretty big gaslighting what's going on in society. Because they fuck up something and then, you know, they blame this and that.
Which will also justify their own existence to their yes. followers.
Yeah.
And get more revenue in the future. Why did you get into Bitcoin, though? This is the first time ever talking to you.
Sure.
You hit me up over Twitter, and then, like, there was the Telegram chat stuff. So it's just like, I guess he likes my vibe online. I don't know.
So I got into Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a complicated story. But I'll go into it. I already talked about this on this podcast once, but I was experiencing severe social withdrawal for 4 years of my life. I basically turned into hikikomori for 4 years, and I managed to find my way out of this kind of depression after like 4 years, and I started going into the state education system, doing a BA thesis, I mean BA course. And then when I was there, I just got into all kinds of things, and I was like thinking like how I can get my life going forward. And I always had this really weird thinking that maybe, you know, I could, you know, once move over to Germany and have a good life, have some 1,000 euro income and, you know, live a happy life somewhere on minimum wage shit. And then I won't have to care about, you know, having to have some shitty life in Hungary, because here people only earn like 200,000 forints, which is like 550 euros a month. And that's nothing if you want to move forward. There's no life.
Yeah,
you cannot imagine life on that money. And basically, like, you know, in between I had relationships and I basically had this idea that what happened was that I was trying to like get by and think about how I can move forward in life. And basically this whole thing with speculation and money started to become more reality for me. Like I was thinking like maybe I can have some savings and move somewhere else. And I started having these very long-term goals where I want to move ahead in life. That was basically how I got out of depression also. And
I think Bitcoin actually did the same thing for me.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty good way to describe it.
So,
because basically, like looking at the current paradigm, if that's your only option, you get blackpilled pretty easily, unless you're going to be a part of the establishment.
Yeah.
Which I don't think that was an option for me.
So like for me, it was basically like having long-term goals and trying to like get out of the hamster wheel, because I found that the state and everything, society was basically oppressing me into this role that I didn't want to be in. Like feeling that I had to accept my fate as, you know, not being able to move forward. And I started basically abusing the system. And that's how I managed to get ahead. I started going to university. I was like, you know, I'm going to abuse the system as long as I can. And I'm going to see how far I can get ahead with it. And that was basically how I get through my English BA. And I managed to finish that. And in 2017, I got into shitcoins, basically. But before that, in 2016, Recalibur, his last name was Catharsis, got me into Bitcoin. He gave me my first Bitcoin, and I spent it all basically on clothing. And then that's when I started thinking more about, you know, what is these things and what could I do with it to, you know, to get rich quick. And then I got into shitcoins in 2017, late 2017, and I saw the whole thing just going down from the all-time high, and basically that's how my whole thing started. In 2018, I started, you know, philosophizing about how Bitcoin exists, why are these shitcoins are around, what is their purpose, how money gets created, what is going on with society with it. And I went down the whole rabbit hole myself, basically, just by, you know, philosophizing about it and thinking like more in the wider variety of what these things could mean in life. And I came to these logical conclusions without ever reading any book about Bitcoin. I didn't even manage to, you know, really read much books in my life. I kind of avoided
it. I only started reading books about Bitcoin after I started transitioning, because I had the confidence to like be social and then start going to Bitcoin events. And people just hand them to me.
Cool.
People thought I was like highly based or knowledgeable with just my takes. And it was like, I've never read any of these books. Maybe it's like a generational thing with happenings. I don't know.
It's like, so like after 2020, you started like going down the rabbit hole yourself more with books, basically?
Maybe 2021.
2021, okay.
Just because people were gifting them to me, like Hunter BTC or whatever. I think that's his username.
Yep.
He gave me a copy of the Bitcoin Standard and then got me started with the books. But I didn't read them mostly unless I needed to reference my favorite parts. I would listen to the audiobooks while I do my job. So
I see.
It's been kind of like a self-affirming kind of thing, though, because a lot of it I already had the instinctive like feeling that, yeah, that's how it is. And then like somebody would just affirm it for you going through these books. So the Block Size Wars, I'm going through it right now. It's pretty weird. Like reading as somebody that actually went through the Block Size Wars, because there's stuff that I missed. So I would suggest that one. It's pretty cool.
Cool.
The author's a bit dramatic, though, with like there was a war or there was a storm waging and stuff like that within like the first chapter.
Oh, it was. It was a pretty big war. It was not a bloody war, but there was a lot on stake.
Yeah. It's just the way he worded it all. It just sounds like it's a like an old fable that like you're going to tell your grandkids or something. It's just funny to listen to or read. I mean, same thing.
Do you have any other plans for books?
I have Mastering Bitcoin and then can't remember what the other one is, but I haven't actually gone through them.
Grokking Bitcoin is also a very good one from Colin Rosenbaum.
I'll just send it over you. For me, but it'll probably fire up is just like getting into vanity addresses even more and then older BIPs.
I'll send you over BIP
38 recently. And then you mentioned 47. It's like, sounds appealing. But not appealing, but I want to play with it. So
I will send you a picture of my bookcase so you can see like good options for reading because I have like a whole fucking library already.
So I'm assuming if it was a bad read, it's not on your bookshelf?
No, I don't think so. I stopped buying Bitcoin-related books after a while because I kind of felt like I just really reached the pinnacle of what I can understand. And so like in the theory, and most everything I started reading was really like something that I felt like it was like, you know, I already understood this about Bitcoin. And it just felt like I'm just wasting my time and I'm not developing myself as an individual to be more useful for a Bitcoinized society. And that was basically my thinking.
I just thought of something, and it was with how I guess other transsexuals will hate Bitcoin. Maybe if they understood it, they would realize that there is less people that are willing to pay for their surgeries and stuff like that. Because that happens through more socialized means of medicine, which the United States is not socialized, and I guess unless you count Medicare and shit like that, which is socialized. But that's a lot of money. So I don't know with Bitcoin if like that kind of stuff will still exist, or if it will, like the value of it. I guess like my fiat brain now, like $120,000 in total for shit, would be like nothing in Bitcoin. But I don't know. We'll see. I think there's something there though. Because people have like the sunk cost fallacy with their current setup. Like a friend of mine that got quote unquote hurt in the Marines, but I don't think he did because he does like over 48 hours a week at a physically demanding job and shit like that while also collecting like $900 on welfare payments. A Bitcoin kind of reality, and he doesn't want to support that because that kind of ends his
reality.
His privileged state. Yeah. Like
it's fucked up.
It's coming for my goods. Just it existing, so maybe trans people are like that too, though, because they get like the state-backed surgeries.
Interesting. Yeah, I could like imagine like the prices going up for transsexuals if the Bitcoin world.
Yeah, but in a way, though, like the state or like the government are like a law being passed saying medical insurance providers have to do XX and X just drives up the cost the same as everybody should be able to go to college. Doesn't matter. Their flow of income. They should be able to take on this debt. Like that kind of stupid mentality. So it just like makes it more subverted too. So that has me thinking, I'm wondering how that would be valued with Bitcoin in the future, like post hyper Bitcoinization. So
yeah, well, hyper Bitcoinization is going to, you know, disrupt a lot of things. And like you can't really feel responsible because of that, because the system is already fucked up. And as how it kind of like, you know, pits these people with their fiat world, fiat jobs, you know, fiat world, everything that originates from it is eventually going to end in a Bitcoin-esque world, eventually.
What's your time frame for that happening? Or we see some drastic change? I think I've already seen some change, though, since 2015 as a pleb, but hasn't been that massive. Actually, I guess it has within like Western nations, like stuff like Cash App and then Venmo and PayPal getting their game together even more, like instant payments for low fees, or like your employer paying you out the same day. I think they see the writing on the wall with Bitcoin and especially Lightning Network. So they've been adapting over time, because 2015, I'd be like at like a shitty wage cut job. And I'd be like, why the fuck can't I get paid tonight? This Bitcoin that I'm playing with, it would work. And I felt like a sociopath. Time just saying shit like that. And now don't feel so crazy, so just
crazy. Yeah, if you want to be a Bitcoin, you're gonna be a tiny bit crazy just to see, to better understand like the problem in today's modern world, basically.
I just encourage people to play with it, because if they play with it or use it, maybe it'll click with them. Just like, damn, this is so simple, or this just makes so much sense. Because then maybe they'll compare it to like the payment systems that they use already, and then they'd be like, damn. Like, even on the main chain layer right now, it outcompetes 99% of what they're using, I bet. Except the convenience of time payments. You don't want to buy a coffee and wait like one or two blocks, but...
waiting for the coffee.
I've done it. I bought some weed like that, and I had to wait for like one or two blocks. And I bought a beer like that, I think, one time. And because somebody had a Bitcoin Pay server up at a meetup, and everybody did Lightning payments. And then I used a legacy address that was like a vanity. And I think it was something stupid like SheFox or like Foxbox or like Kitsune, or it was something to do with foxes. I know that. And then I paid out of that just as a flex and also to test like backwards compatibility. But Bitcoin Pay server is pretty cool.
Yeah. Do you run a full node?
Yeah. I don't run an archival node though.
Which implementation do you use? Can I ask?
I think it's 22.22. Are you going to use this information to attack me?
No.
Okay. Am I revealing like crucial OPSEC here? Oh god.
Hopefully you're running it behind Tor though.
Yeah. I don't even know if it's up right now. I just like get it to sync and then like I'll use it when relevant. So I think like it should be synced up to maybe like a week or two ago. I keep smaller amounts just to fuck with, or like pay bills on hot wallets. So,
well, all right. I think you're closing up to the end of the show slowly.
Okay.
I think we had a really good discussion, and I'm really glad you came. Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
No, I'm sorry it was all over the place. It wasn't really like that focused of a topic, though. But I guess like since I was talking about paper wallets, like kind of need to bring those back because that is a really good example, or like a physical. I was talking to like a 60-year-old recently, and I handed him a paper wallet that had like his own vanity in it that said like something coyote, and then because he's a coyote, and then it's like, okay, this is physical Bitcoin that you're holding because the private key and stuff like that's attached to it. I was just like, hey, just be hella paranoid and don't hover a camera above this stuff until you're ready to use it, and it's cool. And then he's like, okay, well, I'll just stick it in a book. But I really do think people should bring back the paper wallets instead of shilling X service, X wallet on a phone, because it's the least convenient thing to do. And I guess like if you're giving a free amount at first to somebody, there's already that layer of trust because they don't know what the fuck they're doing. So yeah, you generated it and you know the private key, but they don't know what they're doing at all. And just tell them if they're going to upload funds into it in the future, use a different one. And if it seems relevant to them, teach them how to use a different one.
That's actually great with paper wallets. I can see so many projects coming out.
I tried to show this stuff to like three coworkers recently, and then the only time I was able to get somebody to take it seriously was when I brought in a paper wallet. Huh. So there's something there.
Yeah, the fiat mindset.
Yeah, this is cash, bud. This is cash money. Smack this on the table right there and yeah boy,
yeah, stack the 1,000 sets. Stack them high. Yeah, then you need the money count. Like
I gave $100,000 to a friend that got me this job, and he's like, it's 100,000, and I'm like, yeah dude, but like that figure just had him like spurging out. It was funny as hell. I didn't tell him what the value was. I was just like, go home and find it out. And then he's like, okay.
That must have been hilarious.
Yeah, I had to keep it in person, but yeah, I was like dying on the inside. But yeah, sorry it was all over the place though. And if you want to do it again another time, like I'd be game. But
definitely.
Just, yeah, hopefully we'll have like a more focused topic or something relevant to the bullshit that's going on with seed oil Bitcoin, I guess. Or...
seed oil Bitcoin.
Yeah, you know, like the people are just like, man, you gotta get on this carnivore diet, you gotta get on the seed, you gotta purge out the seed oils and this.
I know this okay. Food, this ridiculous conference going on in the US, that food thing, I don't know what the fuck is it, like if setting up your food safety nets and shit, getting farm, going into farming.
Was it the beef initiative?
I don't know.
I like
there are like actually, all
no,
kinds
I don't
of
think
things.
That would be the beef initiative. That was really small.
It was a beef. Yeah, I mean, the beef initiative was a bit different, I think, or maybe. I think it is. Yeah, I think it is.
That was small scale, so I don't see it. Like, I wouldn't call it a big conference. That was kind of local to me, but you should link me this conference later. I want to see how that went down.
So yeah, it was really great to talk with you, man. I hope we can have another podcast later, but thanks a lot for coming.
You're welcome.